life, if I, most of the time if I preach about what's going on in my life or the struggles I have, I find out that I'm not alone. Amen? I find out that maybe somebody else here today is struggling in areas or having areas. And we got to work street ministry so long that we've seen so many areas and so many things that are in need. But we're going to be in Mark today. Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 35. And ask you to, as you get there, I'm going to pray and get us started. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you. We thank you for who you are, Lord. We thank you that you love us, God. God, we thank you that you want a relationship with us. God, you want fellowship with us. And God, I pray today that you would hide me behind your cross, Lord, that you would clear me of me, Lord, and that you would share your word. And God, your word would change lives, that it would change families, Lord, that it would glorify Jesus Christ and lift up the name. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, while you're turning there, I asked this question. If I was to ask you today, and you don't have to raise your hands, but if I was asked you today, how many people here want to go to heaven? I would hope, I would pray that everybody here was going to raise their hand. You know, it's kind of like a Sunday school teacher told about one time. A little boy asked, a teacher was talking about heaven and telling all about it, and she said, how many want to go to heaven? And every kid in there except Johnny raised his hand. And the teacher said, well, little Johnny said, you don't want to go to heaven? He said, no, I thought you was trying to get a load up for today. You know, I understand that we have plans, that we have things we want to do, but our ultimate goal should be want to be with Jesus. Amen? And our world changes that. Whether we want to or not, our world gets us bogged down. Our world gets us so caught up that we get to thinking about other things. See, I know that I'm going to heaven because I come to the point in life that I knew I was a sinner, that I needed a Savior, and that I give my heart to Jesus Christ, and I accepted what Jesus done on the cross for me as my sin debt. And I have eternal life in heaven, and I know that I know the day I breathe my last breath that I'm going to heaven. Amen? Now, am I perfect? No, not by any way. But let me let you in on something. You're not perfect either. The only perfect person that ever walked the face of this earth is Jesus. Amen? And so as we look at that, see, my other question I would ask you today, because this is what I find most of the time. People, and I don't want to take any, heaven's the most important decision we'll ever make. But we get bogged down in life, and people so many times are more worried about how to make it through the day, how to make it till Friday, how to pay your bills, how to handle your kid. What's this doctor report going to come back? You know, we're worried about our job. We're worried about the next hour. We're worried about our family. And we let those worries and those things that are happening in our life take charge, and it's kind of like Jesus gets moved to the back. And God doesn't want that. God wants us to understand that he is in control, that he can handle the issues of our life. Our problem is, I was sharing with somebody this week, our problem is we take the issues of our life and we put them in our hand and squeeze them, and God can't get them. If you have an open hand in life and you have, God can feel it and God can deal with what's in it. Amen? And so our deal is here. I want you to start. We're going to be about three different places, but we're going to start in Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And that same day, when evening had come, he said unto them, let us pass to the other side. And when he had sent away the multitude, he took them as he was in the ship, and they were also with him other ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was full. And he was in the stern of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and said, Master, carest not if we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto them, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? how is it that you have no faith? And they were exceedingly fearful and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obeys? You know, as we see this, I want you to see, first of all, the disciples, God's followers. If you are a follower of Christ, you are a disciple. That means learner, amen? Our goal is to learn more about Jesus. The Bible says we're to be conformed into his image. We're to be more like him tomorrow than we are today, more like him next week than we were last week. Are we going to turn into God? No. Don't worry about it. But we're to resemble the attributes of God. We were at church in Morris one time, and there was a gentleman there that was horse guy, and he had a little boy named Cole. And when they would get out, they'd park out to the corner, and Jerry would get out, and he just looked like a cowboy. And I watched Cole as he grew up, and Cole wanted to walk like his daddy. He wanted to talk like his daddy. He wanted to act like his daddy. Amen? You know what we should want to do? We should want to walk like Jesus. We should want to talk like Jesus. We should want to act like Jesus. But the world doesn't want us to do that, does it? The world throws things at us, and it gets our mind and our hearts and all off of God, and we get focused on self. And so as we see this, I want you to understand that the disciples were right where they were supposed to be. They were in the boat. They were with God. In that verse 35, he said, let us go to the other side. And so as we see that, they're doing nothing wrong. And what happens, we find in the next verse that a storm hits. We find out that storms hit in the next verses and that they are worried about their lives. Now, I do want to take a side note today and let you know that every storm in your life is not something that God brings about. So many times in our lives, we have struggles and trials in our life, and it is problems that we've caused. Amen? It is decisions that we make. When I think about that, I think about Numbers chapter 21. Numbers 21, verses 5 through 9. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us out of Egypt into this wilderness to die? And they said, there's no bread, neither is there water, and our souls detest this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looks upon it, he shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole, and it came to pass, if a serpent had bitten any man, when he had looked upon the serpent of brass, he would live. Now I want to show you, first of all, God had done great miracles in the children of Israel's lives. They had seen miracle after miracle, but so many times we forget about what God's done for us in the past, amen? And we start complaining. How many of you this week, maybe this morning, had a struggle and thinks, God doesn't love me? And you say, oh, nobody would say that. Well, I've said that. I've thought, whoa, it's me. Has anybody ever thought, whoa, is me? You know, today it couldn't have been a better day. About what you were speaking about, Brother Lee, and how that so many times we get to looking and we get our eyes off of Jesus and we start focusing on self. And when we do just what Peter did when he stepped out of the boat. Jesus said, he said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you. And he said, come on. But what happened? He saw the wind was boisterous, and he took his eyes off of Jesus, and he started looking at the things around him and the surroundings around him, and he started sinking. Amen? How many of us ever get to the point that we start sinking and we feel like we're going to drown? Amen? I've been there. I've been to where I just want to sit down there and cry. You know, but what is it? We're having a pity party. Amen? We get focused on self. And so it's what I want you to see is that when we cause issues, when we cause issues in our life like they did, the children of Israel, they had spoke against Moses, they were speaking against the Lord, and the Lord sent fiery serpents. I want you to see, they come to Moses and the first thing they said is, we've sinned. Take away the snakes. But look at this. What did Moses do? Moses prayed. What did God do? God said, make a pole. God didn't take away the snakes. He made a way of escape to have life. Just what Jesus done for us. He didn't take away the pain in our life from our decisions. There are consequences when we make bad decisions. I bet that snake bite hurt just as bad if you go standing under the pole as it did if you was outside the camp. Amen? There was still the consequences of their sin. So many times you'll have people preach and they'll say, if you just get saved, your life will be all right. No, you get saved, you're going to heaven. Amen? But your life, the devil came to kill, steal, and destroy. God came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And so we got to start trying to live in that abundancy of life. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You know, so we've got to claim those verses. And so as we do that, I want you to understand we're looking today at Mark and we're looking at the situation of the disciples. They were in a boat right where they were supposed to be. And they were in a struggle. They were in a boat doing just what, and you've been there, I've been there to where I think, man, God, I'm reading my Bible. God, I'm praying. God, I'm giving tithe. God, I'm serving. Why, God? And so many times we go through that struggle. Why is this happening to me, God? And you know what's really bad? You'll have that neighbor down the road, doesn't go to church, doesn't give tithe. Man, everything seems to work right for him, doesn't it? Everything's going his way. And you think, God, why? Because the devil came to kill, steal, and destroy. See, the devil's already got him, amen? The devil don't need to drag him off. The devil wants to stop you from being a good testimony for Christ. And he works in my life in that area, and if I don't watch it, I let him start getting the upper hand, amen? And so, as we see this, I want you to understand that God knows where we are. Now look at this. In verse 37, it says, and there arose a great wind, and the waves beat on the ship so that it was full. Do you ever feel like your ship is going down? Do you look at your checkbook and think, God, we're sinking. We're not going to make it till next week. God, do you ever look at your doctor's report and see, how's this ever going to work out? Do you ever look at your kids and say, Lord, they're not going to live till next week if they don't change? You know. But as we see that, you have to understand that God knows all things. Verse 38, and he was in the stern of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said, Master, carest not thou if we perish? I could just see him. I can see myself saying, Lord, do you see this issue? Lord, are you paying any attention to me at all? Just think about that. Have you ever said that? Lord, are you paying any attention? Do you see this? Do you care at all? We forget that so many times God has told us to do something. And when God tells us to do something, it's going to happen. See, he said, let us go to the other side. You know what I've learned? The boat could have filled plumb up. It could have been a submarine. And you know what? They were going to get out on the other side. Why? Because God said, let us go to the other side. Amen? See, we've got to build our faith. And we're going to see, we see it on down here, that as they done that, they come, he stands up. And, you know, I don't know what they wanted him to do. Lord, you know, just think, they saw all these miracles, but have you got a pump? Lord, we're taking on water here. What are we going to do? And think about the other boats. They said there was other little boats around them. So there was boats that didn't have Jesus in it, amen? You think we have struggles in life? You start going through cancer without Jesus, amen? You start going through issues like Brother Lee did without Jesus. That's when you have no hope. And so we've got to be that hope for people. We've got to be the ones that come and say, we have the answer, amen? The Bible tells us we're to always be ready to give an answer for the hope that is in us. What's that hope? That life will be perfect? No, that Jesus saves, amen? That's the hope that the Gideons spread, the hope that the Gideon spread is Jesus saves. So as we see that and as you understand that, I want you to go and Jesus gets up and he says, "Peace, be still. Peace, be still." And said there was a great calm. You know, when Jesus speaks into your life, if you'll let him, there can be a calm. Now, the situation can still be roaring around you, but there'll be a peace. Amen? The Bible said he give a peace that passeth all understanding, that we can be confident in him, that we can have peace through this. Now, what I like, I think about when I was thinking about this, I was reading and I think, you know, what was the disciples thinking when he got up? He got up off the pillow. Said, "Peace, be still." Everything was calm. I said, "I bet they didn't see that one coming." Amen. There's no waves. I mean, you're talking about glass seas. I could see glass seas. Amen. Not a wave anywhere. Why? Because the master spoke. Amen. Because the master spoke into the problem. And so as we see that, you know what else they didn't see coming? When he said, "Where is your faith? Why are you fearful? Where's your faith?" See, that's the reason we struggle in life. You know it. If you're saved, you hadn't got a relationship problem. We got a faith problem. Amen? You know, I think about my phone. My little boy gets it, and he plays these little games. And when I get it, it'll say, "Low battery." After I charge it all night, it'll say, "Battery is sufficient." You know, if we had a little light up here like that, that would show low Bible, amen? Low prayer. And then have it turn green when it was sufficient, amen? I think we could operate better. But see, we think we can get through life and we can do it our way and everything's great when we do it our way and we won't have struggles and God, we can make it. And God becomes the kind of God that, I told one of my workers one time, I said, the kind of God you want is a get-out-of-jail-free card. His name was Lloyd. You become a Christian when you get locked up and you call me and then you start talking religious. Or, God, you know, help me here. Lord, I've had a blowout and God, I have no, God, I need you. But God says, I want to be Savior and Lord of your life. Lord, I want to be the one that you don't just come to when you have big problems. I want to be the one you come to with every issue of life. Amen? I want to guide and direct. He wants to be the light unto our path is what the Word of God tells us. And so as we see that, we've got to get to the point that we understand that God is for us and he's not against us. Amen? God is for us. He's not against us. You know, when I think of that, I think of David in Psalms 27. He says, "The Lord is the light of my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes that stumble and fall. Though the armies beseech me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I am confident." I am confident. We've got to get to the point that we can doubt a lot of things in life, but we don't doubt God. Amen? We don't doubt his word. See, so many times we want to pick and choose, and we think, God, you can... Oh, I got time. We think, God, you can do this. God, you can take care of this. But think about Mary and Martha. They sent a note to Lazarus or sent message to him and said, "Our brother, the one you love, is dying. And he tarries." And they come back and he's dead. And they run out, the first ones out to meet him and said, "Lord, if you'd have just been here." In other words, "Lord, you could have healed him, I have no doubt." But God has went too far now. She didn't say that in words, but that's what she... And he tells her, if you just have faith, you'll see. If we just have faith, we can see God work in our life. We can see God do great things if we just have faith. And having faith means that we've got to turn loose of self. Amen. Having faith means that we've got to get rid of our wants and our desires. You know, last week I was preaching and I was talking and I told them that, you know, Jesus came and he said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." We saw Jesus go off and pray to seek the Father's will. If Jesus needed time alone with God, doesn't that mean we needed a whole lot more? Amen? And so as we see that, I want you to understand that God wants to do great things in your life. But it is our faith. And if you went to Hebrews chapter 11, I'm almost done. That's the hall of faith is what we call it. Verse 6 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen." And I love the bottom part of this verse. It says, "For by the elders obtained a good testimony." You want a good testimony? Have faith in God. Believe what God says. Amen? Walk with God. It goes on to say, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which we see were not made by the things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifies of this gift, and though he be dead, he still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away, so he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had the testimony that he pleased God." Verse 6. "But without faith, it is impossible to please God." It is impossible to please God. But he goes on, that, you know, it's not the end of that verse. It says, "For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Diligently seek him. You want to see diligence? Go to the golf course today and see somebody hit the ball in the high grass that's playing for money, and they're going to have to add a stroke. They're diligently hunting for that ball. Amen? God wants us to diligently seek. See, when we think it's going to cost us something, we're worried that we'll search, right? If we lose our car keys and we're going to have to call AAA to come and pay them to open our car, we'll seek our car keys. Amen? But God says we're to seek him diligently. We're to hunt for him as a precious jewel. So, today, I believe God's asking us a question. And the question I believe God's asking every one of us today is, why are you fearful? Amen? And where is your faith? See, the question they ask themselves after God done work is, what manner of man is this? What manner of man is this that can even control the wind and the waves? Well, it's Jesus. That's who it is. It's Jesus. You want the answers to life, the answers to any problem in life is Jesus. The answers to how to raise your kids is in the Word of God given by the Lord Jesus. Amen? We understand that God the Father and God the Son have the answers to all of our problems, but we got to diligently seek them. See, we want to sleep with this by our bed and just hope maybe it kind of seeps in while we're sleeping. Amen? I had a pastor friend of mine was kidding one time, said he was going to get some new sheets made up. And said he was going to print the Word of God on him. And he said that way he could tell his congregation he'd been in the Word all night. Been in the Word all night. See, that's what we want the easy way. Amen? And God said, he didn't say it would be easy. But God said it's possible to have a relationship as Enoch had, that we had the testimony that we pleased God. If we have faith in God and we walk with God. You know, in Brenda paid, and one of the churches did one time to send me. I'd done my school in Liberty, and when we was doing mission work online, and they sent me to down to Dallas to one of the seminaries pastor likes, and we and him talked about it, and I said that I was there a whole week. It was a pastor to give us encouragement, you know, and man, I'd come to the room at night, and I'm thinking, wow, Brenda's, you know, I'm just not, I must be stupid. I'm not getting this, you know. And on Friday, Jerry Vines came and done our class. And he said, shut that recorder off. The guy shut it off. He said, they're not going to like what I tell you. But he said, I bet there's two or three pastors in here that don't feel like they got their money's worth this week. He said, if you'd be so wise to raise your hand. There was about three or four of us. He said, this is your day. He said, they've told you to come up with 3 points and to come up with words that match. And he said, that had never worked for me. And he said, I've seen God use messages he's given me to bring people to Jesus. And so when you hear me, it's never going to be that polished message, because I let God speak to me by something that happened that week, something I went through. And I heard a song, it's an old song, and I've heard it, it's been around a while, it's a contemporary song, but I heard that this week. And I want you to leave with these words before I close. I want you to have these words. I'm not going to do the whole song, but it's 10th Avenue North, and somehow God wants me, amen? It says, God, you don't need me, but somehow you want me. Oh, how you love me. Somehow you free me to take my hands off of my life and to let it go. Amen. It says, God, you don't need me, but somehow you want me. Oh, how you love me. Somehow you free me to take my hands off of my life and give you control. The end of that song says, he wants me. Oh, how he loves me. The King of glory loves me. Amen. I'm here to tell you today that the King of glory loves you. But we've got to take our hands off of our life and let it go. We're going to have an invitation if Terry would come. It's, you know, I don't know what God's doing in your life. I know what he's doing in mine. Amen? That's the only person I can answer for. So I ask you today to stand and just bow your head and search your heart. Ask God, you know, what manner of man is this? Is he Lord of your life? Is God Lord of your life? And so if you'll stand and bow as Terry and him lead us in. If he's not Lord of your life, we got the answer here today, amen.
Which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide, and his grace so free is sufficient for me, and deep is its fountain, as wide as the sea. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you thanking you for this day. And God, I thank you that all minds and hearts are clear, Lord. But if there's somebody that's lacking faith, Lord, somebody that just needs to see you for who you really are today, Lord, I pray you would speak to them. God, we love you and praise you and thank you for Jesus Christ. And God, I pray that this week that he would be the light unto our path. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I ask you to be seated, and I'll turn it
back. Got me on, Dean? We're going to go ahead and do it a little different this morning. We're going to let you give on the way out. We'll just do it that way. Some ushers are back there in back. They've got the plates ready to go. And you can just give your offering as you want to go out. Give as God directs you. And Brother Brother Lee, will you go to the back too so they can greet you on the way out, and Mel will go with you. You can take your wife with you, Lee. Yes, take her with you. Have a great afternoon. If you're involved in the praise team, we have that ministry practice at 5:30. If you're a youth, you be next door at 5 o'clock. If you can't find it, it's due west of the church is where his house is. Have a great afternoon. We'll see you next week. So.